Our message today is called A Balance. And we're going to be looking at mainly a couple New Testament scriptures and go back to the old. But just thinking, I liked what Marianne was saying in terms of bringing up is that, you know, there's a lot of turmoil within our nation. And even there's turmoil within churches, too. And it might be our times that we're going through and the struggles. I was just telling my principal this week that I said, you know, I'm getting tired, and even at school. There's a lot that has to be going on. And when everybody gets tired, people get grumpy and, you know, tempers flare and stuff like that. But it just becomes, you know, a place of work instead of a place that you really love to go. So at any rate, I think a lot of people are experiencing that, and I think it's the times. And I think it's like Fern says, you know, Christ needs to step up, you know, and you know, His gospel needs to get out there. And so, you know, we are His light, and it's what we need to do. So anyhow, we're going to be talking about a little bit of that, those struggles here today, and really what the answer is to it. So, Lord, I just pray that we, as the message is delivered today, that the Holy Spirit guides us and just puts us in a place of Your presence. I thank You for Your Word and how important Your Word is, and just pray that this, what we have, you know, to deliver today, just touches the hearts of those listening. We pray all of this through Your Son Jesus. Amen. Well, really, what it comes down to is that we are at war. You know, in our world, there's a battle that's being fought daily, and the battle being fought moment by moment. And so we struggle in a lot of different ways. There's things that we struggle physically. There's things that we struggle mentally. There's things that we struggle with morally. And there's things that we struggle with spiritually. And when our lives are constantly shot at all the time, we tend to get tired. And we tend to get overwhelmed. We tend to get discouraged. And then we tend to lose hope. It's funny though, we have a God that gives us hope. Isn't that right? And that God that gives us hope is the one that, you know, gives us really meaning in life. That if we fail to do these things, you know, if we fail to know who He is, there really is no hope altogether, just flat out. So when we start looking at the physical aspect of being bombarded, is that it's kind of funny that we're attacked all the time by outside physical things. You know, we have things that viruses that we have to deal with. We can actually touch viruses, and those viruses can affect us, like COVID. There's bacteria that we can touch. And that bacteria has a direct influence on us in terms of what we do. The food that we eat, you know, affects our body. As we have a nutritionist here that was talking to us last Wednesday about, you know, things to eat, and the lettuce. And by the way, how was the lettuce? Those that had lettuce, yeah, thumbs up, good stuff. Yeah, really, I do like doing that. But at any rate, there's so much out there that can you know, hit us physically. And then we get, you know, the sicknesses that's in our body, and we struggle with those. And sometimes those sicknesses are, you know, short time, sometimes there's a longer duration, and sometimes those sicknesses are lifelong. And so how do we do that? You know, we fight, you know, all the time. And what's really sad is, like, even the air that we breathe. I think of, like, you know, some of the pictures I've seen on the news about India and the smog that they have. Oh, California has some of those in Los Angeles. They actually have smog days. Where we have snow days, they have smog days. Stay inside because, you know, you need your air filters, on your air conditioning units, or just the units going into your home, to filter out all that pollution. And so all the air that we breathe, you know, the things that we think would bring health to us, is seriously bringing us death. Just about everything. And even the air that we breathe, the air that we breathe, even after we die, is used to decay our bodies. So it's kind of one of those weird things. everything outside of our physical body is against life. Ultimately. So it's like, why are we even here? Why do we have this sort of thing? We're setting it up. But we, you know, whether the toxins or whether the accidents, whether the genetic deficiencies that we have, we fight. And we fight and we fight and we fight for life. Because there's some instinct in us that somehow we need to survive. But I tell you, it's a battle. Constant battle in terms of your physical stuff. And we know as the older that we get, the harder it is to do some things. And it's like, oh, I'm starting to experience that now. I don't feel like I was like, you know, 30 forever, or 20, 25 forever. I'm feeling age. You know, it's even hitting me and stuff. And I don't like that. I don't, you know, want that to happen. But it's something that we all go through, right? And it's all part of the life and our process that we have as our bodies start to slow down and our bodies start to not move as fast and our bodies, you know, have these certain aches and pains that come through there. And we deal with those every day. And even the thoughts that we have. But anyhow, we fight to stay alive. When we do, we're really worried about our overall welfare of our physical bodies and looking at it. So let's look at our first scripture verse that we've got. And it's 3 John verses 2 to 4. And again, this is the Apostle John speaking to the people. I love the first, second, and third John books because they really are quite strong and to the point. Like we've just gone through James, right? And have seen an awful lot about how the church should interact, you know, with one another and keep alive. But he says this, dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. See, in that essence, it's like not only do we pray for our spiritual well-being, but we pray for our physical well-being. Why? Because there's this battle that's out there. And it's not like you are alone in this physical battle. I really feel like, in a way, I have been blessed because, you know, I think I got hit in the nose one time with a baseball, fractured my nose, but that's about the only broken bone that I've ever known that I've had. Where other people have had multiple broken bones, you know, the legs or arms or up here. And it changes, you know, what you can do and very restrictive and all that. I haven't experienced that sort of thing, you know. But there's other aspects of physically things that I experienced that maybe other people haven't. But the prayer is that you have good health. Because when we do experience good health, that it seems like life goes better. And they're more willing to accept what's out there in terms of, you know, around us, or be able to help others in a much better way. And then he continues and says, it gave me great joy to have some brothers come and tell about your faithfulness to the truth and how you continue to walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Now, when I get that message in terms of walking in the truth, that means that they are physically doing things. What does it mean to walk in the truth? Well, we're physically spending time with God. I think that's a very, very important thing that we need to have. That we have our prayer time with Him. That we're actually speaking to Him orally or just in our minds. But He is on our minds, and we are taking physical time in which to do that. You folks, being here today, you're taking that physical time to be with God, right? And being faithful about that in the sense of walking with God. What else does it mean? Well, there's the aspect of, you know, preparing the fruit baskets and doing that physical work of sharing to those other people that's out there. Or if somebody is in need, doing something for them. That's a physical thing that you're doing. You know, and it's like, that's the point that God is saying here, is that we need to do physical stuff. It is not enough just to say, I pray for you, good luck. And so, the author here is writing and saying that these people are physically doing something. Now, does it make it harder on their life to be able to do some of those things? Well, they have to. There's only so much time in the day, right? You might have to give up something of your own wants in order to help somebody else in need. God takes notice of those sort of things. That when you physically do something, that it's important to be able to take that look at it. And sometimes we battle. Sometimes it's really nice to be just kind of cuddled up in our own home with a little throw blanket over us and get nice and warm and might be reading that book, and then the world outside is completely gone. We're kind of put into this little zone where we just kind of like to be there and not in around other people. Now there's times I like to just be quiet. I'm around kids all the time at school, and I just like quiet time afterwards. So there's nothing wrong with those times. I'm not doing it. But where is your priority? Is your priority to be isolated and not touched with other people, or is your priority to be physical in some aspect with doing God's work? And we battle those things all the time. Because I know that we've got those introverts and we have those extroverts, and it's easy for those extroverts to get out there, but it's not all so easy for the extroverts to be quiet and have that physical time with God. So there's struggles on both sides that we look at it, but what's important here is to know that there is a battle going in amongst us with this physical aspect. Let's look at the other part where we start to look at our mental thoughts. And this one here, I think this is, for me, this is probably the hardest, because I tend to overthink an awful lot. I've said that before. If there's a situation that I have to deal with as a student or a parent or even a church member sometimes, I run these scenarios in my head. And I have about 8,000 scenarios that are running through there, right? Thinking, this is going to happen, so I'm going to say this. I know they're going to say this in return, and I'm going to, I'm going to have this all solved in my head before we get there. But it's funny, every time when I confront that person, a student or whatever, it never goes like any one of my scenarios. It never, not once does it ever go like that. And it's, and part of it is because I've run through these scenarios, it's like I don't like the end result of a lot of them. And it's like I do stuff to kind of like keep things from flaring up, and all of a sudden the response is completely different. And so my mind has these ideas that's in there. And the battle that we struggle with ideas that are put into our head. And sometimes those ideas, just come from the things that we choose to read. And maybe those things are non-scriptural. I mean, there's nothing wrong with reading a fantasy book. There's nothing wrong with reading nonfiction and stuff like that. But we need to keep things into perspective as we read those things, because what goes in our minds really influences what comes out of our minds as well. So when we have conversations with other individuals, that affects how we respond sometimes. If it's a confrontational thing, then our whole demeanor and emotions have changed completely from before that conversation. And sometimes it's a good thing because we've changed to the positive, but other times it becomes negative. So the conversations that we have and what goes into our mind in the processing mode really has a big effect on it. The media that we listen to, too, has a huge influence on the things that are going into our head. The movies we watch, the TV programs that we watch. And there's so much that's going into our mind that I think our mind processes more than what we realize they process. We see more in there than what we really think we're seeing. And those influences have a huge effect on us. Social media today is like never what it used to be like, like meeting at the well when you're getting the water and stuff like that. That was the social media, way back in the day when you had to go out there, or you would go to the grocery store and you would meet up with somebody. That was the social media stuff. Now, You know, you're also meeting with people all over around the world, making comments, and it's like, well, that's a good idea, well, that's a bad idea, and you respond to that, and the whole thing, where is your mindset when you're going through that? And we fight to keep our thoughts pure. Because we know that there's things in our mind that we know doesn't please God. God, I know you don't want me thinking about this, and we always put this, but, you know, it always goes in there, and it's a qualifier saying, God, I'm going to do what I want to do, or you've got to listen to what I'm saying because this is really a problem here. So be careful when what we think. And let's look at 2 Corinthians and see what they have to say here. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5, he says, we demolish arguments and every pretension. Pretension, is that right? That sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ. You see, this is what we need to do. To do that is not easy. To do that on our own is impossible. And we struggle and we fight and we have conflict inside of us. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, that was a big saying a long time. And it still works today, you know. It's like, yeah, how would Jesus handle the situation? You know, what would Jesus be saying in response to this person here that's, you know, causing the hairs on my body just to stand up and stuff? Oh, yeah, yeah. And then we deal with this moral issue in terms of what is right and what is wrong. And we have these choices that we make in terms of, you know, how we live our lives. What is it that we feel that we can accept and to deal with, and the challenges and the times that we really need to speak out, and there's times that we really need to be quiet. Our behavior and how we act at work, how we act at home, how we act with our spouse, how we act with our kids, our grandchildren, how we act with our next door neighbor, sometimes even. What we're looking at is sometimes that we have a battle in how we conduct our lives and the struggles that go with that. Where we respond to others around us, and the example that we give based upon our choices of how we conduct ourselves and the moral values that go along with that. And then we start looking at it as a result of what's our virtue. You know, what is it that we deem as being correct in how we respond to those things and coming up. And responding in what we would call a Christ-like manner. I'm telling you, it's hard. We have a life out there now where there's so many life choices that people are doing that we know are not pleasant to God. And yet we have to work with these people, or we have to feel like, you know, we can't, you know, hurt their feelings by saying stuff. And it's a tough a balance of life that we have. And that's what we're looking at, is being able to come with this balance and the struggles that we have in our lives. And then the last one I'm looking at is the spiritual aspect. That our inner guidance system that we have, that connection with God, I feel like, you know, it's more than just a conscience, you know, or the, you know, someone on your shoulder thinking, hey, Mike, you need to be doing this on my left side, and the other on the right side, Mike, you should be doing this and dealing with that. That's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is just having that innateness that you just know that you need to do this sort of stuff. Right? There's that spiritual aspect of our lives that doesn't connect with this physical world, and yet we are part of that spiritual as much as we are of the physical. And if we deny the spiritual aspect of our lives, we're denying basically a completeness of our lives. And we're just looking at one small, tiny thing. But really what happens is our spiritual aspect ends up being our strength and being our anchor in terms of or the solidity of who we are. Let's look at this scripture verse here in James, which we read not too long ago in chapter 1, verse 21. It says, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you." Okay, folks, this is your job. Get rid of all that moral filth now. Why? Scripture tells us. Okay, Pastor, well, go out, you know, right away after lunch. And then lunch comes and is like, well, maybe after dinner, and I'll get rid of that moral filth. And it's like, you realize that you just can't. That moral filth is like part of you. And it's this total internal struggle that we have that, God, I am completely unworthy of being a child of God because of that garbage that's inside of me. Can you imagine the battles that we go through constantly? And we always think, oh, that person over there, they got it down perfect. You know, their lives are like so good. Boy, I wish they had it down just like them. But I think if you were in their shoes and experienced everything that they had, you're going to say, well, they're a bigger mess than what I am. They just don't show it so much. So every one of them, look around. Look at these people around you. And maybe a small number, but I'm telling you, they all have struggles. Every one of us do. And to think that we're beyond that, then you're really lying to yourself. And you're not really looking at the truth. So what's the balance then? Well, a little bit of good, a little bit of bad. Oh, a lot of good, a little bit of bad. Or sometimes on Tuesday we can be bad and then good on all the other days. Is that the balance that I'm looking at? That has nothing to do with it. The balance has nothing to do with how good you are. So we're going to look at some Old Testament scripture, and it's Isaiah chapter 40. And I'm going to look at a few verses in there and just kind of lead you through. Take some time this week and read the whole chapter through. It's not very long and stuff, but I like it because it gives you a little bit of solidity as we're going through here. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed John 16:13 talking about the spiritual effects. It says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have troubles, but take heart. I have overcome the world. All right, we need to realize that our spiritual struggles isn't our own struggle, that God has already fulfilled that, right? He's taken over that aspect of it. And we're going to look at that in Isaiah here. So Isaiah 40, verses 3 through 5 says this, "A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the wilderness a highway for your God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain." And we're thinking about those battles, right? So maybe this is a symbolic thing, that those hills and those valleys that we go through are the struggles that we have, whether they're, you know, the physical, whether they're the mental, whether the moral, or whether they're the spiritual battles that we go through. And then, well, look what the Lord's saying is that, let's just level that all out, remove those battles, and make it an easy place to go. And it continues and says, "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." It's like, isn't that what we look for? Isn't that what we're looking for? Is it in the sense that the battles within us are gone? That every individual in this world, not past, present, and future, right, will see it. What an awesome statement that is. And then you're going to say, oh, I'm missing it. I don't see it because my mountain's too big. I don't see those mountains going to the flat plains and stuff like this. But I want you to know that we need to trust the Word of God, even when we don't always see the effects of that. Right? That's having a faith that really pleases the Lord. So let's continue on verse 12 of the same chapter. It says, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breath of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales, and the hills in a balance?" Simple question. Who keeps this life afloat? Who is it? But God. Is it you? No. So why are you trying to do God's work? Right? He keeps the balance that we need to have. So you can just imagine that if you don't have God in your life, how unbalanced your life will be. And the more you try to balance it, the more offset it goes. Because it's literally impossible for you to balance all those things in the world and all those things happening to you. And let's look at one more verse that we've got over here in Isaiah as we continue on, verses 28-31. Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, or his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run not and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. How do we find balance in this world today? We find balance by finding God and allowing God to be in our lives in every aspect of it. So if you're struggling and your heart is like in turmoil, what might this scripture say to you? You just need to bow down before God and say, God, I think I've been pushing you out in certain areas. I need to let you in. I need to let you be the pilot instead of being the co-pilot in my life. Because then and only then are you going to find that aspect where that you have a renewed strength, where you have the ability to be able to carry on and put one more step in front of the other and just keep going. Not just grudgingly, but with a grateful heart of what the Lord has done for you, and myself. I think that's really important. And what does that even have to do with today's message, you know, during this time of Advent? Really simple. We're going to go to Isaiah 9, 6 through 7. It says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You see, God had a plan all along to be able to restore us. From the time that Adam and Eve were kicked out of the Garden of Eden and we couldn't have that one-to-one relationship with God, because of the thing that blocked us, the thing that was just threw us out of the Garden of Eden, the thing that has caused us to fall, which is sin. And God is bringing us a son. And it's a remembrance to know that God knows your struggles. He knows that you can't do it on your own. He knows everything about you, and he knows, you know, your physical struggles. He knows your mental struggles. He knows your moral struggles, and he knows your spiritual struggles. And do you know what he sent? He sent his son, himself. To to be the one that's going to fight those battles for us. That He is going to be King, ruler. And when He is, of our lives, we can sit back and we can recognize Him as our wonderful Counselor, our mighty God, our everlasting Father, our Prince of Peace, our King. And you know what that frees us up to do then? That frees us up to do those physical things that God wants us to do, because it's not a battle anymore. It frees us up to give us the space in our mind to start thinking godly thoughts, because those battles that we've dealt with so many years and so harshly, Christ has taken that battle. Those moral issues that we struggle with in our lives all day in and day out, and dealing with this, what do we call it, being politically correct, you know, and these struggles that we have, even saying, why not just say Merry Christmas? Why do we have to have Happy Holidays and stuff like that? We can say Merry Christmas. And we can say that with a joyful heart. Why? Because we know what it is. Yeah. And it is pretty special to be able to do that, because we know who the King is. And we don't have to have a conflict about worrying about hurting other people's feelings, because we know the truth. And so when it comes to, you know, those moral items, we're freed. Though there may be people living a life that is not what God has intended for them to live next door, I'm living my life the way God wants me to live it. And I am perfectly fine with that, no matter what anybody else says, because I know that's what God wants. And then my spiritual walk becomes unbelievably close with God. Because I'm not struggling with those battles that other people are struggling with. Because I know who God is, and my faith has been put in Him 100%. So that, for some reason, I now have the ability to be able to discern what God wants versus what I want. And my prayers change, because it's now about praying what God wants to be fulfilled versus what I want to be fulfilled. That I pray for others instead of just my own needs. The battle within us becomes a balance. And the balance is allowing God to work in you 100%. Amen? Lord, I just thank You for this word today. And as we go through this Christmas season, that we have that balance. That we put You first. It's not about the shopping for the gifts. It's not about the decorations. It's about what's in the hearts of individuals and remembrance of what Christ has done. Lord, give us that balance. For those of us that are struggling here today, I ask that we just bow to the Lord. Get on our knees. And I say that figuratively. You know, you can do that physically. You're capable. And just pray to God. He will show you. That's how He works. Thank You, Lord, for being the balance in our lives today. And this we pray through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.